God has got a word for us today, I believe, as I've been praying, and it may not be something you normally hear. We don't always talk about it as a church, but I'm talking about healing for a wounded heart. How many of you have been around kids before they get in an argument about my dad's better than your dad? Right? My dad can beat up your dad. Oh, yeah, well, my dad can lift up a car, and, you know, yeah, well, my dad can lift up a truck. My dad can lift up a building. You know, my dad can lift up the Empire State Building. Oh, I was like, I thought the kids were still there. He's over here. There's Ryzen. He's getting older, right? Yeah, and he's happy. And he's talking about his dad right now. Oh, yeah, my dad. Here's the thing. How many of you know, in the mind of a little kid, those people are invincible when you're young, right? And then how many of you know when you get older, they don't think you know anything? Right? So I like it better when they're younger, right? And maybe for you, it wasn't a dad figure. Maybe it was a mom, an uncle, a coach. Maybe it was a pastor. But whoever it is, there was always a person that brought calm and safety to your life. And you know, with grandkids now, and I think about our youngest granddaughter, Eden, if you don't know who she is, they're all super cute. But at this point in our life, I'm her favorite. Right, and I don't mind that. I'll take that as long as I can. And it made me think about last week. They were all over at our house. One of the older kids were on the swing, and she was walking by. How many of you know, and kids do it, and they get knocked over. Yeah. Well, she's crying on the ground, and then she gets up to, goes past her mom. Her mom's like, oh, come here. Went right past her, went right past her dad, and came to me. I was like, in your face, you know. No, I didn't say that. But again, I like it. But how many of you know, I mean, there are some kids, they will go to anybody. And you're like, you got to keep a chain on them because you don't know who they're going to go to. But there's a lot of them, if they're feeling insecure, if they're feeling unsafe, how many of you know a lot of them do this right here? Right? How many of you guys remember when your kid would hide behind your leg? And it's like, I don't know that person. And for some reason, your leg is like a barrier, and it's safe. I'm safe if I can get just right here. They always know where to go whenever those situation happens. But my question that I want to talk about today, what if it's not a skinned knee that's the problem? What if it is a broken heart? How do you fix that? What if it's not like, maybe they're not feeling intimidated. Maybe their soul has just gotten wounded. How many of you know that happens, right? And there's many things in life that do that. Maybe you experience a trauma. Maybe you experience rejection or betrayal. Or how many of you know just negative words that you get spoken, that were spoken over you, right? The you always and the you never wills. How many of you know those are usually not good? You're never going to amount to anything. You're never, or you always do this. You always fail. I know that you never keep your word. I mean, all of those things can really come after your soul, don't they? They're like little darts at one point, but they start adding up. And I don't know what it is for you, but I know we live in a world that is surrounded by situations that want to wound our soul. Isn't that right? And here's the thing. If we don't find healing in Jesus, then what's going to happen is that will become the lens that we see everything else with. I put it like this in your notes. Without healing in our soul, our wounds become the lens that we see everything else in life. Right? Everything begins to be looked at through that. And what happens is that everybody else in your life is actually paying the penalty for what one person did to you. Isn't that true? I know you got to think about that. What happens is that we're bleeding on everybody else for what one other person did. And we're just going around. We see life through that one betrayal or that incident or that relationship that hurt you. And then we begin to look and judge other people. Maybe they have a phrase that one person used. Maybe the tone of their voice, or there's something about them. And what happens to you and I is that we end up with life full of fractured relationships. We move from job to job, relationship to relationship. And honestly, sometimes church to church, from friendship to friendship, like, man, I got to get new friends. This friend did it to me now. And it's always everybody else's fault, isn't it? It's all like, and I'm just proposing, this isn't in your notes, you could write it down or take a picture, but sometimes the reason we feel like we are on this merry-go-round of life is because we've not dealt with the emotional wounding, the soul that is broken in our life. We just kind of hang on to it, right? We put it down in there, we pocket it, we add it up, you know, kind of like sweeping the carpet, and you just add it in there, right? And then how many of you know you only can sweep so much until you start tripping over it, right? Eventually, you're going to have to deal with it. And so maybe you visit a new place. Well, I'm going somewhere new. So you see new places, new faces, but guess what? The underlying issue is still the same. It's still there. You're like, how did it follow me? Because it's not following you, it's in you. We got to deal with it. And honestly, there are times, now I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor for many years, it's easier sometimes if somebody comes up, man, I got this diagnosis of cancer or something like that. And it's like, okay, this is what your issue is. Let's pray for it. Let's declare God's word. Let's anoint you with oil. We can deal with that. It's always a little bit harder to see a wounded soul, isn't it? It's a little bit harder to see that because, first of all, that person has to say, I've got to open up these painful areas of my life to somebody. And most people don't want to do that. And what happens is when we don't, then we're hurting in isolation. We're just keeping it. This is my issue, I guess. And we keep our distance from people. Like, I'll let you know my surface me. We certainly don't get close to the people of God. I'll just put on a face and worship the Lord, put on this facade and make everybody think everything's okay, right? How many of you can fake a smile for a while? We can do that. But if we're honest, it's not who we really are. It's not what's going on. And we're blaming everybody else for our situation. And I shared this last week. Until we're honest, God cannot heal the fake you. Right. Isn't that right? He can't heal that. He will heal the real you. If we'll be honest about it, if we're willing to say, you know what, this is the hurt that I'm dealing with. This is the issue. This is the thing that's transpired. And I think a lot of times we don't want to be real about our hurt. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I bet most of us in this room has done that. Maybe somebody hurt you or they offended you. And then you want to go, you know, and then maybe they come back like, oh man, did I hurt you? Did I offend you? What do we say?
No.
No, I'm good. I got it together. You didn't hurt me. And so what we're doing is we're lying, so the relationship will never be healed. There's going to remain a fracture in that. I'm a tough guy. Come on. You didn't hurt me. Your words don't hurt me. But the reality is that fracture only gets bigger, doesn't it? It only gets bigger until we're willing to deal with it. And I believe that God is saying, listen, it's time to be the real you. It's time to allow me in. So I want to look at a Psalms, just four verses today. Out of Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, King David is the one that wrote this, and he's in a situation in his life. And I just want to start it out. Verse 1 and 2, he says, hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. Now, here's the thing. He's saying, how many of you have been in that place before? Like, if you don't want to raise your hand, you can just look forward and, like, say, no, I've been good, right? I'm good. I've not been in that place. I've been in that place, right, where it's like, God, please hear me. I'm in a tough place, and I don't know what to do. Crying out to God, asking God, saying, God, I hope that you're here, like, not even sure if he's there, right? And we're there, and we're crying out, and he's saying, listen to me. And then he goes on to say, from the ends of the earth. Like, that's an odd statement, but basically they're saying, listen, I'm calling. I'm basically at the end of my rope here, God. I'm calling at you from the ends of the earth. Like, maybe not literally at the end of your rope, but, you know, like God, I don't have any more solution. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. So, God, I'm at the end, and I got some great news for you today. When you get at the end of yourself, I put it like that. When you come to the end of who you are, you just hit the beginning of who God is. All right, if you don't take that note down, because here's what usually happens. A lot of times we expend everything that we have to fix ourselves. We try everything. Oh, I got this option. Let me try that. Well, that didn't work. Let me try this option. That didn't work. And we're trying to hold it all together. And God gave me this analogy dealing with somebody years and years ago. And he kept saying he didn't want to get the help. He said, no, I still got options. And the Lord showed me this picture of him on a beach with a sandcastle, and he's trying to hold it together. But how many of you know the waves are coming up? And it's taking it out. And sometimes we're trying to dig that trench to keep the ocean from taking our sandcastle down. It's a losing battle, isn't it? Right? As long as when that tide comes in, it's going down. And sometimes we're like doing everything we can to hold it together. And so this is, I believe, where God wants us to get. Now God is saying, okay, I can do something in your life. Once you have surrendered. But he goes on to say this in the verse. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. And he says, I call as my heart is growing faint. Can't you just kind of sense that where he's at? He's like, I don't even have the energy to keep going. Some of you guys have been there. Maybe you're there right now. I don't know. You're like, I don't even know how to pray about this anymore. I'm out of words. And he's saying, I'm done. I'm exhausted. Let me give you another bit of good news in this right here. As a believer, we don't have a faith that expects you to have it all together all the time. Isn't that true? You don't have to have it. But don't we feel that pressure? Oh, I'm going into church. I better smile and get all my religious lingo in there. Hallelujah. I'm too blessed to be stressed, right? Everything's good. God is good. All the time, God is good. But on the inside, you're like, oh, I am a mess. But we put it like we've got to do that. And here's the thing. How many of you know there's not an example in Scripture other than Jesus that had it together all the time? As a matter of fact, most of them were a hot mess. Isn't that right? That's what I love about the Bible. It doesn't present these people that are always together. It shows how raw and how authentic enough they are that they're like, I don't have it together, but I serve a God that always has it together. Amen? So we need to realize it's okay. You can be real here. You don't have to act like you've got everything all together. This is a place where people can actually love and care for one another. So this Psalms is a lot of people, you know, people have different opinions what was going on in David's life. One of them is that he was going into a battle and he wasn't sure of the outcome. I don't really like that one right there. Another version, which I think is more popular of what was going on in David's life, is when his son Absalom was trying to overtake the kingdom. And he was literally trying to kill David, his father, and he did push him out for a time. And let me tell you, David had to flee for his life because his son wanted to kill him. And I believe that fits this psalm because it's a father's broken heart that is crying out for his son. And you see the torment that he had over it. Can I just tell you, as parents, your kids hold the key really to really breaking you more than anybody else. Isn't that true? I mean, whether they're rotten kids or not, right? We still love them. And you just want the best. And when they're making bad decisions, man, that's hard. So he goes on to say, lead me now to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. Amen? Yes. So the thing we can grab out of that, David's honest about where he is with his emotions, but how many of you know he doesn't stay there? He doesn't stay there. Again, it's normal. It's expected. You and I are going to have times of being overwhelmed, difficulty, you know, dealing with depression or whatever it is. And sometimes it's a very hard process. But let me tell you, God does not want us to, I put my picture up here. God does not want you to set your address up on Sorrow Street. All right, how many of you know we all have an option, and you may not realize it, that we can choose the Lord. The Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. That's a choice that you and I get to make. That's right. And if we will do that, you know, then it says that he will give us the desires of our heart. But sometimes we have lived a life in sorrow that we don't know how to get out of it. And it's like we've kind of built our address there, and it's like, well, I guess this is just where I live. And then our life just becomes this circular thing where you're living on it and you don't realize that there is a life possible outside of that. Amen? It's like, well, this is my lot. This is what I deal with. And David is saying, listen, this is how I'm feeling. But he made a declaration, but I'm not living here. Amen? I'm not living here. And he's saying, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher. I need a different perspective on where I'm at in this moment. And I just think sometimes, even Christians, right, they get stuck in the depths of their grief. I mean, it's been only, what, a week and a half since the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Can I tell you, the nation is still grieving that, right? I know not everybody, but let me tell you, anybody with a heart, it's still grief. And you know, the memorial is at, I guess it's going on right now. So, you, like I said, you can watch it later. And I bet you the presence of God is there. But it's not just them. How many of you know the week before, the world was grieving over the Ukrainian girl that was murdered on the bus? Yeah, that was just like heart-wrenching. And even now when that photo pops up, it's horrible. Earlier this week, there were three police officers killed in Pennsylvania. And we see that stuff on a regular basis. There are school shootings that seem like at least one a month. Doesn't it seem like that? And it's like parents that are just grief. And even if their child's not the one, you know, the fact that they're in that environment, it's a heavy thing. Or let me just say this, just any relationship breakup, right? Whether it's husband and wife, whether it's kids like going away and not coming back. Really, whatever it is that maybe you're going through that is just overcoming you, like, oh, God, I don't know what to do. And I put this in large print, but I want you to understand, you can't stay there. You can go through the grief, but don't set your address there. Amen? It's time to get going. How do I do that? Maybe that's the question. How do I move it? Well, David said, Lord, I'm going through all of this. First of all, Lord, I need you to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I need you to give me a different perspective because I can't stay in this cycle. And let me just say, we think about it. It is a cycle, isn't it? Because you think about your grief, your trauma, whatever it is that you're going through. And how many of you know, after you're done thinking about it, you think about it again? All right? And then you think about it again. And maybe somehow you eventually make it to sleep. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and then you think about it again. It's just this ongoing thing. And I have found that people deal with it one of two ways, and both of them are unhealthy. Number one is they hide it and they try to bury it on the inside. Don't talk about it. Just like act like everything is okay. How many of you know that starts rotting you on the inside? The other unhealthy way is that I get to share my trauma with anybody I meet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put it on social media. Some of you guys have read that, right? I'm looking around. I don't think anybody's posted anything, but if you did, stop it, okay? That's profound stuff, because what happens if you share it, you're not sharing it to get healed. You're sharing it because that is your trauma, and you share it with this person, then you come share it with this person, and eventually everybody is traumatized by your trauma. Isn't that right? And it's like, oh, man, so we need to move out. We need to see, God, I need you to heal me. How many of you are tracking with me so far? Okay, so I want to get to the good things. How do I get out of it? Well, he goes on in verse 3 and 4, and he says, you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. So this is my 4 points right here. Refuge, strong tower, tent, and shelter. And so we want to talk about what exactly that is looks like. And let me just say, this is just steps. This isn't like the complete solution, because you may actually need some additional counseling. How many of you know counseling is not a bad thing? It's like, oh, no. Counseling, and listen, if you need more, you need somebody to come alongside of you. We've got people, we've got recommendations that we can direct you to get the help that you need, amen? And being even a part of a life group is important, because it's hard to share stuff in a you know, oh, I'm in service, but in a smaller group, you can be authentic with people. But let me move on. Number one is a refuge. He says, God, you are my refuge. So what is that? It's a place of protection, isn't it? a place that you can go. And this is really, David has this theme throughout the Psalms. Psalms 46, verse 1, he says, God is our refuge and strength and ever, I love this word, ever-present help in trouble. How many of you know that means he's always there? Even if you don't feel it, you know, it's not about me feeling it, because I walk by faith, not by sight, which means also not by my senses. I walk by faith, knowing that God said he is my ever-present help. When I'm in trouble, God is right there. We got to call out to him. What about this one? Psalms 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Right? He's the one that I go to. He's the one that I can count on. And these are great verses to memorize, by the way. But the idea of a refuge next to that is a place of safety. A place of safety, right? And I know, come on, let's be honest. We live in a world right now where everybody wants a safe space. Right? I just need a safe space. I just need this place to be safe for me to go to. Let me tell you, God is your only safe space. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's be honest. Sometimes people are like, well, I'm going to go to church. How many of you know sometimes it's not even safe at church? Yeah. Right? You know why? Because we're here. That's right. Isn't that right? And sometimes we rub against each other. Sometimes we say things that might offend somebody, and not even purposeful, like maybe you get, you know, I got a new haircut, and you walk in and someone goes like, what happened to you? And then how many of you know that doesn't feel good? And then you're like, oh man, I got to go change it, right? Or whatever it is. We just say things. Sometimes we just say stupid things. Come on, how many of you ever said something stupid? And it's like, you literally see the word leaving your mouth and you're wishing you could grab it and pull it back. There is no delete on it once it leaves your mouth, okay? There is repentance. There is, I'm sorry. There is like, oh man, I didn't mean it that way. I know that sounded horrible, but I guess the emphasis is that God is your only safe place. Nobody else, amen? Nowhere. I mean, even in the Israel, when they were designating cities to the different tribes, they designated six different what they called cities of refuge, and the purpose was them is if you did something and it was accidental, like if you accidentally killed something back in their law, it was eye for eye and tooth for tooth. So if something happened accidentally, you could run to a city of refuge and you'd be safe there. They couldn't get retribution on you on that. But in the what I think one of the reasons is it's symbolic, showing that God is our refuge. When your soul is burdened down, when you're struggling, let me just encourage you, the first place that you run to is not the mashed potato or macaroni and cheese comfort food. Amen. How many of you like that let me just go buy me a nice little Carmelo bar with a caramel and whatever it is. Right? No, we got to run to God.
That's right.
Amen. We got to run to God. He said, lead me to the rock because, Lord, you're my refuge. Number two, he says, a strong tower. Lord, you're a strong tower. What is that? How many of you know the thing about a tower is that they're not short? This is just an old city outside of Jerusalem. But you notice the tower, there's always a tower that's taller than everything else. And the purpose of that is that it's above the walls. Like if you're living inside the city walls, you can't see what's going out on the other side. And so the tower is there, and it's always that there's windows all the way around it that gives you a 360 view so that if the enemy is coming, they know about it way in advance. You can be prepared for it when the enemy, and it gives us a different perspective. So if the refuge is a place of safety, then the strong tower is a place of perspective. Yeah, and when you are going through the stuff, can I put it that way? How many of you know we all need a different perspective? We need a God perspective. Listen, we used to live in Colorado Springs, and anybody here ever been to Pikes Peak on the top? All right, a couple of you guys. Anybody else? All right, listen, if you haven't been there, it's pretty awesome. Colorado Springs is 6,000 feet. Pikes Peak is over 14,000 feet. So there's an 8,000 foot difference. And I remember the view from the top of Pikes Peak. I know it's kind of hard to tell here. This is Colorado Springs, and it ends right about here. This is probably where Peterson Air Force Base is right here. On the other side is like nothing. It's like grass and dry, and at a certain angle, you can see like Garden of the Gods. You can see the Air Force Academy from up here. Actually, on a clear day, and you may not realize, Colorado Springs is about a straight arrow line of about 60 miles from Denver, and on a clear day, you can actually see the skyscrapers in Denver from Pikes Peak. And it's a pretty amazing view. You look around the backside, you see what they call them, the collegiate peaks, and it's just an amazing view. And one of the facts, some of you guys may know it, the song America the Beautiful was inspired by the woman Kathy Lee Bates when she was on top of Pikes Peak in 1893. And just the stunning view of everything caused her to write some of the opening lines. As a matter of fact, her poem, before it was called America the Beautiful, it was just simply called Pikes Peak. And some of you guys know the song. Can we sing it? Do you guys know the tune? Let's try it. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain. I had to add this. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. I'm glad. Good job. You guys did amazing. So I think you guys have heard that before. And here's the thing. I wanted to put that out there because she was not inspired to write that at the base of the mountain. It wasn't until she got up higher, until her perspective changed, that she was able to see the world in a different perspective. And I just want to say, when you allow yourself to get higher, you're going to see things from a different perspective. Amen? And like another analogy, sorry, I got a lot of them today. I remember years ago, I don't know if it was a book we read or whatever, my wife has used it. How many of you know when a child is like lost and they're afraid, they can't find mom and dad, and they're in a crowd, do you know what their viewpoint is? Here they are, lost in a crowd. All they get to see is belt buckles and backsides. How many of you know sometimes we feel lost and it's like, that's all we're seeing is belt buckles and backsides. And it's like, and it's kind of fearful right there. But how many of you know when they see it, when they see mom or dad or somebody, what do? They lift their arms up. Why do they do that? Because they want you to pick them up and lift them to a higher perspective. Amen. How many of you know that's what God does? Like when God lifts you up, the thing that was overwhelming moments ago, all of a sudden, and I love this, that I found this picture with this kid, I feel strong now. From God's perspective, it begins to give you a different perspective. And like I said, maybe you're grieving, maybe you're dealing with depression, maybe you're dealing with something, and I believe as God is saying, listen, I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up into a different perspective. Why is that? What is Isaiah? We quote this verse often. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Aren't you thankful for that? Sometimes I got some rotten thoughts. Sometimes my thoughts are like, this is it. I don't know how we're going to get out of it. But he's saying, my thoughts are, and neither are my ways, are your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so he's our tower, right? And I know some of you guys have experienced this, that really the circumstances of life, they look different from God's perspective. If you're just down in the muck and the mire, that's what you see. You see overwhelmed, you see there's no hope, there's nothing for me, this is going to take me out. But once you understand God saying, no, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher, you might be in a situation where you think, man, this is going to take me out. I'm done. I can't see. But then you get up higher with God, and he says, oh, no, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I'm going to be with you. I'm above the clouds. Maybe you thought something was going to kill you, but he's saying, no, I have good plans for you. I've got plans to prosper. God is our tower. We can run to him. Some of you guys have ever been on a plane where the turbulence and you're going through a storm and you see the lightning in the clouds? How many of you have been on that? That's a little scary, isn't it? That's when you want to get up and start preaching to everybody. You better get your life right with God now, because we're about to go down. So, hey, might as well, right? Take opportunity, right? But then the pilot comes on and he says, listen, we're going to have some turbulence, but I'm going to lift the plane above the clouds, and all of a sudden, all of that will happen. How many of you know the plane can fly higher than the storm? Yeah. Amen? And when you reach out to God, and that's a hurricane right there. I don't know if that's a real picture or not, but somebody was standing here taking a picture of it, so who knows? It works for the analogy, okay? Here's the thing, if you've been on a plane, all of a sudden it's rainy, it's dark, and you get up higher and the sun is all of a sudden shining. What I want us to understand is that your situation, the sun is always shining. You just can't see it yet because you're down here. You're down here going through this stuff, and that's why David's crying out, Lord, lift me to a place, a rock that is higher than I. Because I can't see past the front of my face right now. I can't see where I'm going. That's when we can trust. And we use this verse often. If you don't have it memorized, it's a great one to memorize. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Right? I'm not going to lean on what I can see. I'm not going to trust what I can see. But in all of my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's move on. What else did he say? To dwell in your tent. That's what he's saying. So these are things that we're learning. Lord, there's this place of refuge. It's a place of safety. There's a strong tower. My perspective changes. When he says dwell in your tent, how many of you know he's not talking about going camping? Unless, of course, you go camping and then you like meet the Lord right there. Nothing wrong with that. But it was talking about the tent. It's referencing the tent of meetings, which we're going to talk about here. So you can fill in that it's a place of power. Because at the tent of meeting is where God met with Moses. His presence was there. Let me tell you, when you're in the presence of God, how many of you know there's power? Amen. Psalm 16 says this, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with what? Joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures are at your right hand. And I think a lot of people miss just being in the presence of God. Because I have found it's hard. If you are wounded, it's hard to have joy, isn't it? You can fake it. If your heart is hurt and broken, how do you have joy in that? Like I said, you can fake it. Okay, I'm going to fake it through church. I'm going to fake it, you know, I'm going to smile at everybody and shake their hand. Or maybe you go to work or school or whatever. And we can fake it for a time. But I want to tell you, true joy comes in the presence of God. Amen. True joy comes when we allow ourselves there. There's a joy that comes only from him. And then it says, and I love this, eternal pleasures are at your right hand. God wants good things for us. So let me show you where this tent of meetings comes to. Exodus 33, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meetings. And anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meetings outside the camp. So let me just set a picture if you don't know what's going on. When the Israelites left Egypt, Moses, we've all seen the Ten Commandments, he led the Israelites with a pillar of cloud by day, so they would follow this cloud, and then at nighttime there was a pillar of fire that they would follow. And every time it stopped, whether it was the cloud or the fire, they would pitch camp right there. Everybody sets up their own tent, and then Moses sent up, this wasn't his tent, but he set up a tent on the outside, and this is actually referencing what we would call the tabernacle, eventually became the temple, and he would set it there, and whenever Moses would go, the cloud would descend, and which the cloud represents God, his presence, and he would communicate with the Lord. So let's look at 8 and 9 real quick. Whenever Moses went outside to the tent, not the one he slept in, but the one where the presence of God was, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down, would stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Like I said, that cloud represented the presence of God, would come down. And so this was the temple. How many of you know we don't have that? You know what the Bible says that the temple is now?
Us,
yeah. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so we can meet with God. We don't have to build a tent. But I do want to say this. You do need your own tent of meeting. And what I mean by that, like I said, not setting up a tent in your backyard. You need a place where you can just turn everything else off and meet with God. Amen. You need a place where sometimes you just got to shut the world off. You know, for me, I don't have a tent of meeting. I got a gazebo of meeting. Because I get my coffee, I got my Bible, and I go out outside when the weather's decent, not too hot or rainy or cold. And I sit outside where we have a little gazebo, and I have my time there with the Lord. If the weather's not great, then I have a couch of meeting, right? Inside, wherever it is. And listen, I'm not talking about, well, I come Sunday and that's my meeting place. That's great. We can be in the presence of God. But can I tell you, you need more than just Sunday. Amen. Amen? You need more than just Sunday. We need, because I've got to have that joy. Here's the thing. If you're only counting on Sunday, I think I got this as a fill-in. If all the worship you get is on Sunday, you're going to have a hard time healing a broken soul. Yeah. Isn't that true? Like, how many of you, like, eat one meal a week and you're like, I'm good? Man, I stuffed myself, you know? Like Thanksgiving, you feel like after you eat, you can't eat another bite. But how many of you know by that night, you're like, man, a turkey sandwich sure sounds good. Or whatever it is. Listen, we need to be in God's presence on a regular basis. That's where our healing comes from, is being in there with Him. We need a tent of meetings. And the last one is my shelter. Being a shelter. Remember what he said, I shelter under your wings. And I believe that is a place of promise, where God's promise is there. God brings us close. How many of you know he brings us close and then he fulfills his promises in our life? A lot of times people see God's promises as hopeful wishes. Like, oh man, I sure hope that works out. I sure hope he's going to do that. No, God's promise can be trusted. Scripture says he is not a man that he would lie. And so if God has promised it, we can hang on to it. There were so many. How many of you know there's a lot of promises in God's word? I'm going to give you three of them here today. Proverbs 31, verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. How many of you know if you're strong and courageous, you're going to be fine, right? But how do we do it? He says, don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God, he goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. We need to hang on to that promise. Even if you feel like, man, is God with me? If you don't feel God with you, how many of you know people equate it? If I don't feel it, then he must not be there. I want to tell you, don't trust your feelings. Your feelings will mess you up. If you are led by your feelings, you're going to end up in a dark place. We got to, you know, walk by faith. Did I say this? I don't know if this was this service or last one. Walk by faith, not by sight. I don't walk by what I feel. I walk by who God says he is. And he says he's not going to leave me and he's not going to forsake me. I don't care how deep the valley gets. I don't care how dark the day may be. Listen, how many of you know we all have dark days, right? We all go through deep valleys. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's when you got to hang on to that promise. How do I get up out of this? How do I lead to the rock? I hang on to the promises of God in the presence of God. What about Isaiah 54:10? Though the mountains be shaking and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. How many of you know you cannot shake God's love off of you? You can be a dirty dog scoundrel and God still loves you. Amen? I wanted to know hallelujah the most. So, aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
Because the enemy wants to say, oh yeah, you've disappointed God too many times. I don't know if God's going to rescue. And people are like, man, I've hurt people. I've done too much. I don't know if God could forgive me. Can I tell you that's an absolute lie from the devil? Because it says his promise, my unfailing love for you will never be shaken, and my covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Even if nobody else is compassionate to you, how many of you know we serve a God that is? Right? Because he sees the whole picture. Amen? Here's another one. Very quoted one, but maybe you're not familiar with it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So if you're at a place where you feel like you don't have hope, where you feel like you don't have a future, what do? I've got to hang on to this promise. Okay, God, I'm going through a dark valley. I'm going through a dark day. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But Lord, I'm hanging on to you, your promise, because you said that you have a hope and a future. You're planning that for me. Amen? Wow, look at this, guys. I might get you out early. Don't hold your breath. Here's what I want to challenge us. We need to run to God.
Yeah, that's right.
I know everything inside of us sometimes says to run away, jump in your bed, throw the covers over your head, and just hide there. Run to God. And the three last fill-ins in your notes, find help in God. Make sure that he's number one that you run to. Like I said, a lot of other things we want to go to, whatever it is, make sure you run to God. Secondly, you can find hope in his presence. Haven't y'all found that before? Like, man, you're out of hope, but then you get in a time, maybe you put on some worship music, maybe you read a one verse. How many of you have had just one verse change your whole perspective? Yes. And it's like, oh, man, God, your word is so good. And whatever it is, get in the presence of God. And this last one I think is really important. A lot of people don't get it. We need to find healing in God's people. A lot of times people are like, I just need me and God, just me and God. I don't need all those other people. And I understand that because sometimes people hurt people. But God did not design us that way. He did not design us for just him and us. He actually calls us the body of Christ. We actually need, here's the thing, this is hard, especially for our American mindset. We actually need each other more than you realize. Like a body, I got a finger. If you happen to be the finger in the body of Christ, if you sever that finger and leave it over there, how many of you know it's going to die? That little finger's over there. I just need God and just all I need. That's all I need. I don't need anybody else. No, you need to be connected to a body. You need to be connected to his body. I mean, do you realize, and there's 59 of them in the New Testament, a lot of them are repeating, love one another, but there's 59 one another's in the scripture that can't be fulfilled unless you're connected to the body. How can I love you when I don't see you and I never have interaction? How can I encourage you if you're never around? How can we build each other up if we're absent from the body? And so there's literally two tents that we got to go to. I got to have that meeting with God. I got to have my time with him. But not only that, I've got to have a place where I meet with other people in the body, where I can actually trust other people. And listen, here's the thing. You don't have to trust everybody, but you need to trust somebody. Amen? And I understand that. You got to be careful. When you start opening it up, you got to make sure that there's somebody that cares there. And the tent is where you can trust. And listen, we need both of them for healing. To get real healing, to restore. But the first healing we need, can I have everybody stand? The first healing we need, how many of you know we need heart surgery? We need to make sure that our heart was right with him. The Bible says that without him, we have this stony, calloused heart. And I have seen this even, like, if you don't maintain that relationship with the Lord, if you don't keep it in check, how many of you know our heart can go back to that hardened state? We start getting a little calloused. We start getting a little insensitive. You know, you start pulling away. The next thing you know, you've completely pulled away. It's a slow process. And so what do we got to do? We've got to come back. I just want to read this verse out of Ezekiel 36:26. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulation. Can I tell you, it's up to us to maintain that heart. And so I'm going to have the prayer team come up in a minute and pray. But first, I just want to, listen, can I just have everybody bow your head? If you feel like your heart has gotten a little hard, or maybe you've never surrendered your life to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I need that soft heart again. I've allowed some callousness there. And Lord, I just want to make this fresh commitment and this fresh start. Lord, take out my stony heart. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm not going to have you come up and you can put it down. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want to lead you in a prayer. You know, it could be a prayer of salvation if it's the first time, or just a prayer of recommitment to Him. Father, that we want a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit in our life. So if that's you, if you raised your hand, even if you didn't, can we just say this? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for being compassionate to me, for caring about me, and for not giving up on me. I want to surrender my life and the stony areas of my heart to You. Use me again, Lord. Fill me. Lift me out of that valley. Bring me to the rock that's higher than I, as I give my life to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up. And listen, if you are struggling in any way, and I just want to say specifically, if there's a wound in your soul, if there's something broken there, you don't have to come and unload everything. You can just, I think this is a first step of trying to open up. Come up here. We got three couples that are up here. And just say, listen, I've got some things in my life that have been wounded, and I've been carrying those things around. And so I'm going to ask that as Timothy is leading us, just to come up for prayer. If you need prayer for any other reason as well,